The world of sports media has become dry, boring, and predictable. That's why we created the Free For All Sports Podcast, starring Greg Reynolds, Joel Raggett, and Steve Bigg. Nothing personal, it's only sports.
Hey, welcome back to the Free For All Sports Podcast. We're mean, we're lean, and we got a lot of stuff on our plate this week that we're getting really angry about, so let's get it started. Greg Reynolds is in the house. Joel Raggett is on the line. I'm your host, Stephen Bigg.
We've changed our model a little bit because we wanted more than one of these. Tom Brady never had consistent numbers but has three of these. Pittsburgh had two, the Giants had two, Baltimore had two, and we had one. That leaves you frustrated. You make the playoffs 11 times, and you're out in the first round 7 out of 11 times. You love to have the Star Wars numbers from Peyton and Marvin and Reggie. Mostly, you love this. And he holds up his Super Bowl ring. Jim Irsay, owner of the Indianapolis Colts. I don't see anything wrong with what he said. I think the media absolutely hates this guy because of the stuff he's done in the past, running his mouth. And they jumped all over this to hype up Sunday night's game. All Jim Irsay was saying is, listen, what we've done now is we've moved our team to a more balanced offense, and we've brought in better special teams coaches and players, better defensive players and coaches, to try and win as a balanced team, not just as an offensive juggernaut trying to roll through the playoffs. He wasn't sliding a negative comment towards Peyton Manning. He wasn't saying anything negative at all. And the media jumps all over this and says, oh, man, Jim Irsay totally dissed Peyton Manning. No, he didn't. All he's saying is now we have a better model in place where we don't have to just rely on Peyton. We screwed up those years. He's admitting fault on his own part, saying, you know what, we screwed up. We relied too much on Peyton Manning, and now we've got it figured out to a system that we think is more balanced and can actually bring in more Super Bowls.
I agree and I disagree.
You got to pick one.
Well, no, I disagree that the media doesn't like Jim Irsay. I think the media loves Jim Irsay because Jim Irsay is one of these guys that'll say pretty much whatever he wants, and he'll tweet whatever he wants. And the thing with that is he immediately started backtracking and kind of going, oh, wait, that's not what I meant.
But Joel, it wasn't immediately. It was after the media jumped on him for about 12 hours. What was he going to do, just sit there and do nothing?
Well, he seemed a little... I don't know if it's ingracious towards what Peyton did for him. I mean, let's keep in mind, this is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The story and the book is yet to be written on Andrew Luck. He's looking like he's going to be about the same. But this is a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. And if anyone's to blame for not winning those Super Bowls, it's not Peyton Manning. It's not his fault. I mean, he did everything he could. I mean, the Star Wars numbers that Irsay talks about are thanks to Peyton Manning. The reason they didn't win is thanks to Jim Irsay's hiring of guys that were supposed to surround Manning with a complimentary cast that was going to win Super Bowls for him. So I think he's a little, I mean, you can sit there and go, granted, you got to pat your guy on the back and say, yeah, we've got the best quarterback we've got. But, I mean, it's one of these things where I think saying nothing at all probably would have been the best policy because there's still a ton of Colts fans that are still Peyton Manning fans.
I think the bigger thing here is not so much that the media hates Jim Irsay. I think the media has a big love-hate relationship with the NFL. Because when you look at the contrast, particularly between the NBA and the NFL, the NBA is a league that is so geared towards individual players and stars, and the stars are what makes the machine work. The NFL is more marketed by the league as an anonymous league where it's less about the individual and more about the team. The media feeds off of superstardom and these individual players. And Peyton Manning has always, he's been their biggest lightning rod for the last 15 years. Peyton Manning is the biggest star in the NFL. So anytime anybody says anything about Peyton Manning or Peyton Manning does anything himself, the media is always going to be all over it. I think it appears that the media hates Jim Irsay because the media loves Peyton Manning so much.
My question to you guys is, the statement that I read at the top of the show, is that really that inflammatory, or did the media blow it way out of proportion?
It's all context, right? How the media obviously wants to drive the machine, right? They want to sell papers. They're going to take everything and anything you say and twist it, because they're trying to build controversy. They're trying to make things what they want them to be, not necessarily what they are. So were they inflammatory? Not necessarily. I've heard coaches say a lot worse, but, or owners for that matter say a lot worse, but again, I would have guessed, and I would say that there's got to be a better way to just kind of sidestep the entire question.
Well, where's the quote? Okay. Where's the quote from? What context was it said in? Was he asked a question and responded with that, or was it just a statement that he released?
It was from USA Today, and they were doing an interview with him, and that just kind of came about.
See, the thing, and they refer to Jim Irsay on PTI as the mad tweeter, because there are things that Irsay will just kind of say.
But that's good.
Well, it is and it isn't. Because, I mean, you and I and Big know as well as anybody that you need to, if you're going to send something that people can construe as controversial, you should probably take a couple of minutes to think about it and then hit send. Because
but I would rather get.
Go ahead.
I would rather get the information straight from Jim Irsay. That's why I like him. All these owners hide behind their PR guys, and everything is spun in a correct way for them. Jim Irsay goes out and says, "Here's what's going on. Here's how I feel. Here's what it is. Here's who we're picking up." I mean, the guy's great if you're a Colts fan or an NFL fan. And old fogies, old crusty pieces of crap like Kornheiser and Wilbon sit there and they rip this guy because they're used to the way it was, and they're sports writers, so they need to be in the room and write the story instead of Jim writing it himself. I think that's why they hate him. When I watched Kornheiser and Wilbon rip Jim Irsay, I was disgusted, and I used to like those guys.
See, and I never saw that. I never saw them rip him. I saw them say that, you know, this can be taken in this context. This could be taken in that context. But as far as actually ripping the guy to shreds, I never saw that. I don't think that they dislike Jim Irsay. I think they love that Jim Irsay is as candid as he is, and I think that's one of the things that the media really needs to embrace when it comes to this guy, is he will actually say what's on his mind. He'll say what he feels, and he's not going to pull any punches. He's not going to hide anything.
Guys, they called him a buffoon. They called him a moron. They said he needs to shut up.
I think that's way out of line. I don't agree with criticizing Irsay, because he has to defend the decision that he made. Before Andrew Luck was even wearing a Colts jersey, before it was even a given that he was going to be an Indianapolis Colt, there was all this talk about what do they do? Do they keep Peyton? Do they draft Andrew Luck? Do they keep all of them? Everybody had an opinion on that subject. And no matter what Jim Irsay did with that situation, he was going to have to back up what he did. So when he's asked a question, especially the week that the Broncos are playing the Colts, obviously it's a loaded question, and anything he answers with is going to be scrutinized no matter what he says. I completely disagree with the notion that he's a buffoon or a moron for defending his decision to do what's best or what he felt was best for his franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
And Steve, do you think this comment was inflammatory or not? His original statement that I read.
No, but it definitely, because of the timing of it, and because it is about Peyton Manning, because Peyton Manning is the face of the whole situation, obviously it's going to be that much easier for the media to paint it that way. But, I mean, if Jim Irsay answers this question in the off season, or, you know, 2 weeks down the road when the Broncos are in the rearview mirror, is it scrutinized quite as much? Probably not. A lot of it has to do with the timing of it.
But
they're looking for storylines.
Let me put it this way. Let's spin it into reality for a second. Imagine you are leaving your job for potentially greener pastures. When you go, your replacement comes in, and he's good. Absolutely, he's good. And your former boss says, you know, the guy we had, he was good. He did well. We were happy to have him. But you know what? He did great, but he didn't do great. The guy we've got now, we expect things that are going to be great.
I'm telling you right now, that's not an attack.
If you want to, you take that as an attack.
But you can't, because that wasn't in the quote. Never said, we went with Andrew because we felt we could win more Super Bowls with him. He's talking about the model of the franchise. And the media boils it down and spins it into Manning versus Luck, which is what I hate the most about this whole thing. He never once said, we went with Andrew over Peyton because we knew we could win more Super Bowls with Andrew. He wasn't defending anything. He was saying the new system we have in place for our franchise is now set up to win more Super Bowls.
But do you not think that system had to be changed because of the skill set of the quarterback? It had to have been.
I think, as great as Andrew Luck is, the defense and it's the skill set of the special teams, they are building a more balanced team because of failing with so many years with the best quarterback in the league. Because they didn't have balance. All they had was offense.
I don't think they needed balance when they... I mean, they obviously did, or they would have won more Super Bowls. But I think they had to change their program just because of the skill set that a 15-year pro like Peyton Manning has versus a 2-year pro that Andrew Luck is. And I think that's why they are trying to save Luck a little bit. They're not going to get this kid killed by actually... And this is probably a swear word in Indianapolis. They're actually going to run the ball.
No, we like running the ball now. Both of those skill sets, 15-year versus second-year, going to be on showcase on Sunday Night Football. As a Colts fan, I'm going to be glued to the TV. We will be tweeting live from @FFASports if you want to follow along.
Yeah, I have a feeling that that's not going to be for the faint of heart on Sunday night, and Lord knows our Twitter account isn't going to be either. You want to talk about Jim Irsay making statements about the way his team is run and what the game plan is for the future. One team that I think really doesn't get it no matter what they're dealing with is the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's been not even 2 weeks since they fired Peter Laviolette, what, 3 games in, their head coach, after an 0-3 start. They're, 1-5, 1-6 right now, and they're losing again as we speak to the hated Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, the Flyers' mismanagement goes back a long way. What does it say when you wait a whole offseason, suffer through what was called the worst training camp they'd ever seen, and then 3 games in, then you decide to make the change? When you took the giant step backwards like the Flyers did last year, doesn't that tell you right there that you need to clean house from the top down, starting with Bobby Clark, one of their top executives, all the way down to Paul Holmgren, their coach, and maybe look at, you know, more of the roster than just your goaltender?
I think the issues with training camp fall directly on the coach. I mean, he's the one running drills. He's the one assigning Dryland or whatever it is that they do during training camp. So that's the coach. As far as Clark's concerned, I mean, looking at this roster top to bottom, barring goaltending, which has been an issue for the Philadelphia Flyers for 40 years, ever since Pelly Lindbergh died, the Philadelphia Flyers are loaded. They've got good players. I mean, if you look at their roster, you break it down top to bottom, they have plenty of talent. Plenty.
They have some, but there's an equal to greater amount that they've maybe given up on too soon and gotten out of there. That's why I think it goes more than just the coach. Like, if you're Paul Holmgren, you take a look at some of the contracts. Danny Briere, decade contract. How did that turn out? Ilya Brizgalov, 7 years. How did that turn out? Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, they were supposed to be the centerpieces of the future in Philadelphia. Sign them to decade contracts, and 2 years in, you're trading them? And what are you bringing back? I mean, granted, Braden Schenn is a good player, potentially a great player. I mean, nobody's... Any other team in the league would love to have Claude Giroux playing on their first line. But you're bringing in guys like Luke Schenn. You're now starting with a reclamation project in Steve Mason, who got, bumped out of Columbus? I mean, what kinds of decisions are being made for the coach to work with?
Well, keep in mind,
you're talking about a team that went to the finals like four seasons ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So why are you ripping the management when they've just been to the finals? You don't think the Maple Leafs would have loved to have been the Philadelphia Flyers? You don't think this is a franchise that other franchises look up to? When's the last time Columbus was even in the playoffs, let alone the finals? And you're ripping the Philadelphia Flyers.
Who's left from that team?
Scott Hartnell? Simone Gagné is back? Wayne Simmons is there? Claude Giroux?
How many points did Scott Hartnell have last year?
He was hurt.
16 points in 38 games.
That's not that bad. He was hurt.
No, that's pretty bad.
Come on.
That's Scott, terrible.
Scott Hartnell was a one-year wonder.
Luke Shen.
One-year wonder in Philadelphia.
I'll give you credit. Luke Shen's a bad decision. Luke Shen was... But, again, they got Luke Shen, and I don't think they're paying all that much. I think Toronto's is eating the majority of that contract. Talbot's a bit of an albatross. He's making a ton of money playing for that team.
But he wasn't part of that cup team.
No. Talbot wasn't there. Tiemannin was. Tiemannin was one that was there. Couturier wasn't there yet.
He was, but he was in the farm system. The reason they were able to give up on some of these guys is because their farm system is really good. I think it was 3 years ago when they were one of the tops in the Eastern Conference, got bounced in the playoffs, but they were up there even though their main stars were hurt. They had, I think it was like almost half their team was rookies for about half the year, and these rookies lit it up. Now, they had a rough year last year, and I think Paul Holmgren decided, you know what, we're going to give Peter Laviolette a little bit more, because maybe it was just an off year. Maybe last year was just an off year. And after an 0-3 start, he said, I don't want to lose an entire season. This guy needs to go. He's lost the locker room. And, yeah, you haven't seen a turnaround yet, but Craig Berube has been coaching for, what, three games? Give it a little bit of a chance. I guarantee you, by the end of the season, the Flyers will either be in a playoff position or pushing one.
I just think when you've got a coach like Laviolette who's got a ring and has had that success and, yes, took them to the finals, a bad 48-game injury-plagued season and then a three-game tester at the beginning of the year, I think that's a huge knee-jerk reaction from an organization that has made a boatload of knee-jerk reactions in the last 4 years since they went to the final. They pretty much completely overhauled that roster.
Would you rather give up an entire season just to see if the coach still has the room, or would you rather make a decision early, go in a different direction, and try to make the season a success 3 games in?
I got to be honest. I think success for the Flyers is completely out of the question at this point.
See, and I agree with that.
I think they're going to be in the basement.
Oh, I disagree with that. I agree with Reynolds. I think the thing with the Flyers, and I think it's almost a credit to them, is if they see things going badly or they've got issues with guys or contracts, they're more than willing to do something to change it. I mean, there was problems with Carter and Richards. There was. Mm-hmm. They're documented.
Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with that.
They're out. They had a problem. I mean, Brizgalov wasn't carrying the mail. He's gone. Briere had made a turn and wasn't doing what anyone wanted him to do. He's gone.
And he's not doing it in Montreal either.
And that's the nice thing about the Philadelphia Flyers is they are willing to do something about the problems that they have. And I think that's a credit to the franchise and not to their detriment, not at all.
I agree with you, Joel. I think more teams need to be a little bit more knee-jerkish, if I can use a term from Big and make up a new term, because I think there are a lot of teams, Columbus, who just sit on a pile of crap and hope to turn it into gold with their warm ass. It doesn't happen that way. When you see things not working, change it. Change it, because your fans deserve better. They deserve to see their management making a change to make their organization better and a contender.
And to the Mason point, Big, there's another thing that when that doesn't work, he'll be gone too. He'll be the next one out of town. They'll find some other sucker to take a flyer on him, pardon the pun, and they'll bring somebody else in and see if he works. If he does, cool. If he doesn't, then they're all good.
A Philadelphia goaltender working out, if he does. That's royally optimistic of you. How many goaltenders do they need to burn through? How many 7 and 8 year contracts do they need to sign? There's no more compliance buyouts. They don't get any more mulligans. Are they just going to keep throwing money at these guys whenever they feel like it?
Yes, of course they will. They've got deep pockets. Who cares? If they want to spend their money, let them spend it. And if it works, great. But if it doesn't, they're going to ship the guys out of town, they're going to spend more money, and keep trying to make it better.
I just think, Holmgren's time has come. He's been, at the very least, assistant to the GM throughout the whole Bobby Clark general manager regime. He's been the top job for 7 years now, and the franchise, in my opinion, is regressing. Yes, they have a good farm system. Yes, they have nice pieces. But I don't think that changing the coach 3 games into the season sends a good message.
See, as a Flyers fan, I was so happy with that move 3 games into the season. You have no idea. I look at a team like Edmonton, and if they had Paul Holmgren and Bobby Clark, things would be a whole lot different. I guarantee you some of those young, quote-unquote, superstars that are supposed to be performing that aren't would be gone, and they would be trying to get better instead of just sitting on what might be good. But how many years are you going to hear Edmonton say, next year we're going to be good, next year we're going to make the playoffs, before they finally do something and break up that nucleus? At least if it was in Philadelphia, they'd break it up and be like, this isn't working. Guys, we've tried
it. If it was up to me, we'd hear the Oilers do that until the end of time.
Good point.
Well, while we're on the topic of Oilers, is there anyone that's actually offended by the term Oiler? Like, what does it mean? I bet there's people, actually, you know what, the environmentalist, there's someone who would jump up and say, how dare they? Oilers, they're poisoning the country. How could you do such a thing? And that is where we've got to as far as sports teams go. Last week there was issues with, and Daniel Snyder actually had to come out and say, hey, Redskins fans, you know, and he was all politically correct about changing the name of Redskins. Why? Because it's offensive to Native Americans. Well, you know what? There is no team that you can't go through that has a name that isn't going to offend somebody. Flyers, you know that offends? That offends Tony Kornheiser and John Madden, because neither one of them can get on an airplane. So the Flyers, oh, how dare they? You know who doesn't like Penguins? Sardines. Sardines don't like Penguins because that's a staple of their diet. You go through every single name. Flames. You know who doesn't like Flames?
People
who are burn victims. I mean, all this thing, there is no word in the English language that isn't going to offend somebody. So as far as name changes go, everybody just stand down, let it go. It's not a big deal. It's simply a nickname or a phrase or something like the Silly Nannies. You know who the Silly Nannies offends? Unsilly Nannies. That's who it offends. So this is
Serious Nannies.
Ridiculous. Serious Nannies. Yeah, the Serious Nannies. That should be the other team's name. But this is ridiculous. And enough about it, people. I mean, it started with Seminoles. Like, Seminoles isn't even offensive. It's an actual tribe. The Fighting Sioux had to become the Sioux because they're pacifists now? Bullshit. Their history is about fighting the white man. It's ridiculous. And the idea that, I mean, you know who doesn't like Pelicans? The New Orleans Pelicans? My wife, because she's afraid of birds. So there's no one, you can't make everybody happy. So all these people that are bitching and moaning about change everybody's name, get a grip, people.
I really got to hand it to you, Joel. That's actually the most perfectly sensible argument I've heard on this subject up to this point. And I completely agree with you. I think the notion of trying to change the name, especially after so much time has passed, is pretty ludicrous. I mean, why did we just decide at this point in society to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, all of a sudden everybody's feelings matter, and no matter how minuscule or how trivial they are, why did we get to this point where it's like, you know what, 5 years ago I didn't have a problem with the name Redskins, but all of a sudden, holy shit, does it offend me.
Like, that's where you're wrong, Big. This issue has been an issue since the 70s. It's just the fact that it's gaining heat now, because really issues like this before you could sweep under the rug because there wasn't as much media out there and people wouldn't bring it up to a boiling point like this. But now in 2013, guess what? People are offended. They have a voice wherever and whenever they want a voice. And you know what? Redskins, it is offensive. It is a slang term. It's a racism term. It's like saying, oh, it's the Chicago blackfaces. That's not appropriate. You would change that, wouldn't you? So why can't you change Redskins? Why is it such a big deal to change their name? Why is Dan Snyder digging his heels in here and being like, you know what? No, we're going to stick with our tradition. Well, if we stuck with our traditions, we would have no new advances in the entire world. We wouldn't be on planes. We would go to the trains. We don't need anything that flies. We're going to stick to what we have. Just roll with it. You know what? It's not going to be that big of a deal. And guess what? All of your new merchandise is going to make you a hell of a lot of new money.
Okay, Greg, I suggest a new name for the Washington Redskins.
Don't say skins. Don't say skins. And don't say bullets.
The Natinals, I like it.
No, I don't know. I think, you know, I was trying to think about that, and because of what Washington is to the United States, I think they have so much history to draw on and so much inspiration that it would be very easy to pick a name that appeased everybody.
All I'm going to say is if you're living in New Zealand, keep a heads up. The All Blacks are going to be going away next.
Name a replacement for the Redskins, Joel. I know you've been thinking about one.
You know what? I read skins, and I'm like, I'd rather be shirts than skins. I mean, I haven't worked out in a while. But, I mean, the history, the thing is you got to think of the history of the area and what's relevant to the area. Like, it could be the Washington, you could be the Washington Monuments. You could be the Washington, I mean, Bullets was so good because of the murder rate that was in Washington through the mid-80s.
Yeah.
That's why the
yeah.
Washington Bullets is forever my favorite name. But the Wizards is stupid.
Yeah, that makes
Bullets.
No sense to me.
It's just ridiculous. But
at least Nationals, I mean, is a good name.
Why not just take a cue from soccer and just call them the Washington FC? Call them the Football Club. I mean, eventually that's what we're all going to do. It's like I said in the open, everybody's offended by something. There is no way to keep everybody happy.
Well, see, I think you got to go the other way. I think you got to go the exact opposite. That's why I'm going to vote for the Washington. Yeah, the Washington Whiteys.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, you can spend the next however many years as the Whiteys, and then we're back to square one. Right?
And everybody wins.
I'm going to shut you hyenas up. If you've got an actual good name suggestion for what is going to be formerly the Washington Redskins, if you want to change the name, if you've got a good name idea, or you just want to jump on these two hyenas' bandwagons, you can tweet it to @FFASports.
Have an idea or topic for an upcoming podcast? Visit freeforallsports.com or hit us up on Twitter @FFASports.
All right, now it's finally time for my favorite segment, Take Off Hoser. I got two hosers this week. Both of them can't keep the dick in their pants. Phillip Rivers and Adrian Peterson. God damn it, I was watching that Monday night game with San Diego and Indianapolis. Phillip Rivers is expecting his seventh kid? Guy's like 28 years old. Have you never heard of birth control? Have you never heard of pulling out? Have you never heard of maybe not having sex after six kids? You're not feeling it anyways. Come on, man. Pull your head out of your ass. You're not going to be playing football forever. And then you got to feed like 20 mouths. Or are you hoping for a reality show after your football career is over in about 3 to 4 years? And Adrian Peterson, did you love Sean Kemp growing up or what? Did you have the jersey? What the hell is wrong with you, man? I know you're a superstar and I know everybody wants to have sex with you, but 5 different women have your kids? And strippers are saying this? Come on, Adrian. Take off, you hosers.
Okay, let's also preface this by extending our condolences to Adrian Peterson as well.
He met his kid once.
I understand that, but the fact that a child died, dude.
Oh, that's absolutely awful. But I'm sending my condolences to the real father who fathered this child for 2 years.
Was the guy who ended up choking him?
No, that was two different guys. There was the father and then the new boyfriend.
Oh, see, I got the story wrong.
What a mess.
I want to give Kickoff Hoser, you know who needs to take off? The entire city of Cleveland. What is wrong with you people? I mean, I kind of get it. Brandon Whedon sucks. But the idea that this guy goes on Craigslist and puts an ad on Craigslist asking for a quarterback, and I'll read it for you. It says, "Hello, and thanks for reading. Have you played pro football, college football, high school football, peewee? Have you played Madden before? Do you sort of kind of know the rules of football? If yes, keep reading. If no, well, also keep reading. We'll take anyone." Capitalized. "This could turn into a regular gig for the right person." End of quote. That was on Craigslist from a Cleveland Browns season ticket holder who was obviously not very happy with the way Brandon Whedon's been playing. Brian Hoyer looked pretty good. Granted, Whedon kind of cost them the game against Detroit last week, sort of. But, I mean, really, Cleveland, do you expect the Browns to be good? They traded away their best player. Brian Hoyer played pretty decently for a couple of games. Cameron Jordan, or is it Jordan Cameron? I can never keep them straight.
Jordan Cameron.
He played all right. Jordan Cameron? All right. Yep. Well, when your best offensive weapon is a tight end, you got big problems. So, Cleveland, it's
Falcon.
Really, again, you need to stand down as well. Cleveland, live in misery and take off, Hoser.
So, do you disapprove of this Craigslist ad? Is that what you're getting at?
I think it's the... little bit, yeah. I mean, Cleveland sucks. It's just, that's the way Cleveland is. They suck. They're not good at anything. So going on Craigslist and trying to get better, that's, you know, Craigslist not the way to go about it. Maybe you go on eBay and start an auction for what you'll make to play quarterback for the Browns.
I have it on good Drew Carey authority that Cleveland actually rocks. Does not suck.
No.
My takeoff hoser goes to Los Angeles Dodgers member Yasiel Puig, or as I like to call him, Yasshole Puig, because that's basically what he is. There's been stories all year about, despite the fact that he can hit and plays a pretty good game of baseball, he's a total dickhead to just about everybody around him, and nowhere was that more apparent than the other night against St. Louis when he did the little home run trot when it actually wasn't a home run. It was just a triple and kind of got caught having to run the bases a little quicker than he might have normally. I'm not a big fan of the home run trot to begin with, but if you're going to do the home run trot, you better make sure that that ball is going out of the park and you're not going to have to run the bases or risk being thrown out. Yasiel Puig, take off, hoser.
You know what's hilarious is if he did run the bases, he still would have got a home run because he's that fast. If he got a triple on a trot, if he was actually legging this thing out, he would have been home.
Yep, exactly. That's why you never do the trot unless you're sure. You have to be 100% sure.
It's a pity when players' abilities don't match their maturity level. It really is a shame. Because
when you throw millions of dollars at guys when they're young 20s in their late teens, guess what?
And
they're not going to be mature.
Just about every account on the other side of that city, they have another guy who is a pretty damn good baseball player at a very young age, Mike Trout, and it's the complete opposite. Mike Trout, nobody has a bad thing to say about him.
But you can't compare one guy to the next. It's something you can't do. It's like
but
comparing...
you also can't say that when you give players that young a whole bunch of money that it automatically turns them bad.
No, but more often than not.
It depends on the person. A lot of people think that getting a whole bunch of money only magnifies who you really are as a person.
Oh, give me a bunch of money. I'll turn into a real prick.
Yeah, yasshole or regget.
Yeah, that's why we need sponsorship for this thing. So then, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's why we don't have it. We're afraid of that guy.
All right, I'm going to give out. No, I want to give out the first David Putty high five. because I know you guys are going to torch me for this, but I got to give out my David Putty high five first. And it's going to whoever the current, and granted only for this week, Booker is for the World Wrestling Entertainment. Honestly. I, for some reason, flipped over, because the Monday Night Football game was junk. I flipped over to Sportsnet 360 or whatever it's called this week and watched the final match, which was a tag team match between Goldust and his brother Cody Rhodes against two guys in vests that come through the crowd. And it was actually one of the best matches I've seen in probably 20 years. I haven't watched good, like a good wrestling match where things actually were kind of entertaining. And lo and behold, Goldust and Cody Rhodes won the tag team titles. It was actually really, really cool. David Putty high five to the Rhodes brothers, new WWE Tag Team Champions.
Here's a fun stat for you. Today I was at a lunch. It was like a huge lunch, but Brock Lesnar was there.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah, dude's huge.
How? Yeah, I was just gonna ask, how big is that guy in person?
It's insane.
It's that big, eh? Like I met Diesel and I met Razor Ramon walking into a bar in Red Deer, and they're huge. Like it's just these people are other planet big. It's just stupid.
Wait, Diesel and Razor Ramon were going into a bar?
Believe it or not.
No way. It would be way cooler to meet those guys now because they are a train wreck. My David Putty high five goes to the Regina Pats. And here's why. This Friday, they have done something different, and I think you guys are going to get on them and me for this, but they're tinting their ice pink, and they're decorating the arena with support for breast cancer awareness. And the reason I'm tipping my hat to them is because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and nobody showcases that better for men than the NFL. Players going out there with the pink towels and the pink shoes and the pink gloves, I think, is such an amazing month-long tribute. And the NFL hasn't done a lot right lately, Thursday games and things like that, but this tribute in October is amazing. And the fact that baseball doesn't do anything, even though it's their postseason, the fact that the NHL doesn't do anything, and the fact that the NBA doesn't do anything, to me, is kind of disgusting. The fact that the NFL, this juggernaut, is supposed to be an example for the other leagues to be like, hey, this is how you make money. This is how you showcase things. The other leagues have done absolutely nothing. There is no mention of it. There is nothing done. And I tip my hat to the Regina Pats for making a stand and showcasing Breast Cancer Awareness Month and trying to raise a little bit of money.
I can defend all three leagues. Baseball will never change anything because they're all a bunch of old men. The NBA doesn't care about anybody other than themselves. And nobody watches hockey in the U.S.
You've got
still Breast Cancer Awareness Month in Canada.
You have a heart of coal,
I'm being facetious. Please.
You have a cold, black heart.
You honestly think that I would ever defend anything like that?
No.
Of course, you
of all people.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you can get away with saying the NBA is all about themselves. I mean, I think we'd all agree with that.
Yeah, that one, I'm actually kind of serious about.
Well,
I mean, they don't really get going anyways. But I mean, baseball, the media that baseball gets for their playoffs is amazing.
Yeah, that's
and for
that's
them
still...
to just do anything. I mean, you could do anything. You could have pink bats.
Well, the only explanation I can think of for baseball is the superstition thing. That's it. I mean, it's the playoffs. It means so much. So that you can't change anything. You can't change your batting gloves. You can't change your helmet. You can't change your glove. You can't do any of that. So
you can't put a little breast cancer ribbon on the field? Of course you can, but
nope.
They don't.
Nope. Can't do it. Bud Selig said so. Big's buddy.
Oh,
Big
yeah.
loves Bud
he's,
Selig.
He's my boy.
I would love to see, you know what, if the Canadian team started it, I would love to see just a little bit of support
both
during
of them.
October when their season's getting going.
Hear, hear.
Hey, anything for breast cancer or for cancer awareness, yo.
my David Putty high five, and you too will appreciate this because we all have a very special place in our hearts for this. My David Putty high five is going to whoever decided that Joey McDonald's theme song at the Saddle Dome should be Return of the Mac.
What?
It's a classic. They play it every night now. Whenever Joey McDonald makes a huge save, Return of the Mac blares over the speakers. That's a good decision right there.
Oh, no, but he has to make a huge save?
No, well, that's the problem.
Oh, you know,
okay,
no.
Not every night.
Until next time, this has been the Free for All Sports Podcast. Visit freeforallsports.com or tweet us at FFA Sports.